Well, good morning. Our pastor will be back to teach to you next week, praise God. Amen. So today he's asked me to bring the Sunday school, so I will do the best that I can do. It is tough to stand here in Pastor Carter's place, amen? But I will have to say that it is a great, great honor. We've got many, many men in here, very good preachers that are much more knowledgeable than I am. So it makes it extremely hard to stand here before you and teach. And so anyhow, we'll do the best that we can do. And I just thank God that he's given me the opportunity to do so. And so we'll just make out the best we can. If you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's one of the Pauline epistles. Paul here naturally is writing to the church in Corinth. Pastor last week was preaching Sunday on the cover up, amen? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all get a lot of blank stares. I vaguely remember it either, you know, it's hard, you know, from week to week, right? But he was preaching on the cover up, and boy, that really touched my heart. You know, the devil today is doing anything and everything that he can do to cover up the gospel. Anything he can do to pervert it, in any way that he can hurt, destroy, or hinder anyone that's lost from hearing the truth. He is a busy fellow. However, at the same time, I think sometimes that we, as Christians, I think we give the devil too much credit. You know, he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. So if he's over here bugging me today, chances are he's not bothering you, right? He can't be in all these places at one time. But we seem to blame everything on Satan. I think a lot of times we get a little lazy, and it's easier to go back to Genesis, right back to the beginning where it all started, and Adam put the blame on somebody else, didn't he? And I think that we still do that today. And as believers, you know, we ought not be slothful, but I think many times that's what we do. It's easier for us just to blame it on Satan than it is to take responsibility for that in which we ought to be doing. Because when preacher talked about the cover-up, how many of us are covering up the gospel every day in our lives? How many of us don't allow God to use us as we ought to be allowing him to use us? And folks, I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart that we're living in the last days. And us as believers, and I believe pretty much everybody in this room believes that we're living in the last days. And as believers, if we believe that, then you would think that we would react to that, wouldn't we? I mean, if we believe that we're living in the last days, today could be today. Trumpet could sound, God could send the Lord Jesus to come get us today. And with that being said, you would think that there would be an urgency. You would think that we would be wanting to do something to get the gospel to those that are lost. And think about something. When we're talking about those that are lost, we're not just talking about people we don't know. We're not talking necessarily about strangers. We're talking about so-called friends in the workplace. We're talking about family. You know, we're talking about our own brothers and sisters. In some cases, moms and dads, or sons and daughters, or grandchildren. I know many, many grandparents that haven't questioned their own grandchildren about salvation. Now think about that. That's you and I. I mean, we're the ones that have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But how many of us have not spoke to somebody this year about salvation? You know, the other night, when these young college students come up here and they're giving their testimonies, did you notice the joy that each one of them had? And folks, trust me, it wasn't easy for them to go out and do that. Matter of fact, they were probably made to go do that, amen? Because they're just like us. They want to sit back and say, well, that guy would do it, you know. I don't feel adequate. I don't know how to knock on that door and present the gospel to somebody. But you know, I found out a long time ago, you know how your neighbor's going to get saved? The exact same way you got saved. You know, we all get saved the same way. Either you believe the gospel or you don't. And it's just that simple. And the gospel is, what's the gospel? the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's nothing complicated. We make it complicated. We allow the devil to get into our lives. We allow him to stop us from doing that in which we ought to be doing. We make excuses, giving him credit. And think about this. Folks, when we do this, do you understand that we're giving the devil his due? You understand we're allowing him to have more power than he ever deserves. Because he can do nothing without God, just like you or I. My heart can't beat the next beat without God's permission. And you know the devil has no more power than God allows him to have. But we empower him ourselves. We allow him to take over that part of our life. And folks, when the preacher was preaching the other day, I mean, that just really touched me. I mean, folks, we ought to not allow, especially in our lives, the gospel should not be covered up. We should be proud to broadcast the gospel every opportunity we get. Every single one of us in here. How many of us, we're seniors. I think we're all seniors in here. Most of us are seniors in here. I'm pushing it. I'm getting close. I mean, how many of us can raise our hand? Don't. But how many of us could raise our hand and say, I have led somebody to the Lord this year? You know? That's, you know, the sad thing is probably a lot of us couldn't raise our hand. And that ought not be. Just like these college students, like I was saying, I guarantee you the professors, Brother Parsons has told them, no, you're going soul winning, whether you want to go or not. And it's not that they don't want to go, because inside they truly have a desire to go. We all do. If you're a born-again believer, I don't know how you could not have a desire to share the gospel. But it's hid because of our fears or because of what we think we don't possess in sharing the gospel. So we cover it up. So we just keep quiet about it. And that's not what we ought to be doing. We need to be like these college students. Somebody needs to shine their nines, you know what I'm saying? Boom, get out there and knock on that door. Because if we was to do that, we'd be winning souls to the Lord. And each and every one of us are responsible, according to Scripture, to do that. What's the Great Commission in Matthew? Go ye therefore into the world, right? It doesn't say ye preachers, or it doesn't say ye evangelists. He's talking about all of us. It's our responsibility to go into the world and share the gospel. Now, I know I'm kind of aggravating some of you this morning, because this is what we like to do. We like to say, well, you know, I'm 89. I have done a lot for the Lord. And that's true, but you're still breathing. And if you're still breathing, God has not finished with you. Okay? When you stop breathing, it would be an excuse. But until then, God's not done. And those people around you are still dying and going to hell. And it's up to us to share the gospel. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. But it's just so much easier for us to say, well, let the younger folks do it. I've done this all my life. And, you know, I used to work a bus route. Or I used to do this or used to do that. Well, that's all good. Praise God. I mean, it's super. I mean, all these people that built this wonderful church with Dr. Carter here. But used to doesn't get it done. You know, we have to continue to go. You know, every one of us are getting older and we pass away. What are we going to do if Dr. Carter passes away? You know, he's not Jesus. He's not going to live forever. He might live to be 185, I think he said. Okay? And the way he's going, I believe he's going to do that, okay? I'm praying that he lives until the rapture. But what if he doesn't? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep knocking doors. We're going to keep teaching the Bible. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep on keeping on. That's what we're commanded to do. But it starts with each and every one of us. We have to stop doing like Adam did, passing the buck, passing the blame. We've got to stop doing that, and we have to take the responsibility upon ourselves and do that in which we ought to do for the Lord. Amen? Now, with that being said, we better get into the Bible here this morning. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing We have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, the very first word here is therefore. Folks, this is what a lot of us do. I don't know, maybe you're not guilty, but I am. You just keep right on reading. Keep right on reading, keep right on going. Without ever stopping and thinking about what is therefore? What's the therefore? Therefore. Therefore what? So if we don't back up, or if we haven't gone from behind and come forward, if you just opened your Bible this morning and you start reading in chapter 4 and you're not aware of what chapter 1, 2, or 3 is, then you don't understand or know what the therefore is there for. Amen? We don't have a clue, but we keep right on reading. And when we do that, we're apt to miss what God has for us. You know, God has something in the scripture here that he wants us to see. He's something that he's teaching us. So if we just keep reading right on and ignoring the therefore, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. So we need to know exactly what happened in chapter 3. So first of all, what's therefore mean? What's the meaning of the word therefore? And I'm pretty sure most of you know what the meaning of the word therefore is. It means for what? For this reason or because of, right? Or accordingly, right? So we can use any one of those terminologies and others to decide what the therefore is. So with that being said, I want to revert back to a little bit and review a little bit about chapter 3. Because if we move on from this point without knowing anything about chapter 3, then we're probably not going to learn anything about it this morning. So in chapter 3, it says, ye are our apostles written in our hearts, known and read of all. That's in verse 2. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all. You understand what? Turn over there for just a minute. Go back up to chapter 3. Paul is talking to the church here in Corinth, and he is telling them, you know, they have been bragging on Paul and them and all the work and whatnot they're doing. Well, here Paul is telling them, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Have you ever thought about what he's saying right here? Have you ever thought about what he's talking about? You know, when we think about the Old Testament, we think about the written word, the Bible, right? The Word of God. What Paul is telling them is that we're written in our hearts. Think about that a moment. We have the Word of God in our hands. We have God, Jesus, in us, right? When we're born again, when we get saved, we possess the Spirit. So we have what Paul is saying here is that we have the testimony of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. Folks, this is the reason that our testimonies are so important, because eyes are on us. Everything that we do and say throughout the entire week, people are watching you. Especially if they know that you're supposedly a Christian, then somebody's got their eyes on you. Somebody's watching you. So it's important that we keep our lives according to the way of the Bible. And folks, think about it a minute. We're talking about the written word. And what he is saying is that we're a representation of the Lord Jesus. We're basically the living word. Christ is in us. We have eternal life. So when we think about that, how important are we in the world? It's important that we reflect the things of God. And sadly, a lot of times we're not doing that in our lives. But we are representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not just a believer. We're more than that. We're God's Word alive. We're actually God's Word living. I mean, when I read that the other night, when I actually focused on that and that caught my attention, we're not pinned with a pen. We're pinned with the blood, amen? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How special is that? We are a special people. We're in the New Testament. We no longer live in the Old Testament. And our testimonies are important. We put God's law in stone in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, he put it in our hearts. So, and that's what he's doing here. He's making a comparison. We don't have time to read the whole chapter. But Paul's making a comparison from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then he goes on, and he talks about how the law was glorious. That when remember, you know the story, how God gave Moses the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. That was a glorious time. Well, how much more glorious is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament? What did the law bring? The law brought death, right? It brought death. The law was a schoolmaster. No man could keep the law other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Nobody kept the law. God gives the law as a schoolmaster to teach us and to show us. But yet the law was glorious. So how much more glorious is the Lord Jesus? And that's where we live today. We live in the New Testament. We don't live under the law. And that's written in our hearts. So how much more glorious? So what Paul is doing here, he's trying to show the people in Corinth the difference between the old and the new. And folks, we need to understand that ourselves and remember that ourselves. That should be very important to us, that the veil was taken away. The veil's been removed, and we're allowed to see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be proud people. We should be happy to walk in the Lord Jesus. That should be the reflection of each and every one of us, is to carry the truth of the gospel. We shouldn't be trying to hide it and cover it up in our lives. We should be anxious to move on with it. And then, but anyhow, the veil's been removed. Now that's what brings us to the therefore. Therefore, the veil's been removed. We have, go back over to Corinthians chapter 4. It's saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So now the word we, who is the we? That's us. That's the church. That's talking about you and I. And then it was talking to Corinth, but he's still talking about the church. We the church, have this ministry. What ministry? The gospel, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, if we didn't back up a little bit and go to chapter 3, we wouldn't have any idea that that's what he's speaking of. This is that God has allowed the light of the truth and the veil to be removed that we might be saved. Amen? The glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2, let me finish verse 1. We have received mercy, we faint not. You know, remembering that Paul was a murderer prior to being saved, I believe Paul is recognizing the mercy that God's given him. Now, you and I, you know, we're good about pointing, and we're good about pointing out other people's faults, but the Bible tells us that if I'm guilty of the least of all these sins, I'm guilty of what? All sins. So therefore, I'm just as guilty as Paul is, right? You know, I may not have killed anybody, but if I've broken one of God's commandments, I've broken them all. So I'm just as guilty as Paul. And I think what Paul is trying to reveal to us, I think Paul appreciates God's mercy. You know, I think Paul is so proud that God has chosen him for eternal life. And each and every one of us we ought to feel the same way. We ought to feel blessed that God has revealed the truth to us. Each and every one of us in this room, every one of us is saved, is only saved because of God's mercy. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, we faint not. Now, I don't think he's talking about that they just stop preaching the gospel or they're getting weak. I don't think that's what he's referring to. When he says, we faint not, I think what Paul is talking about in all the torment and the torturing that's going on in these days and in this time, he's still teaching the truth. He's still preaching the gospel. He's still doing all that he can do for the Lord in spite of all this going on against them. I mean, Paul wasn't the only one out to kill Christians, amen? So there was a lot of that going on at that time. And I think that's what Paul is referring to there. In verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Well, what do we see here? The word but. Preachers always telling us that's the opposite truth. The opposite truth. So what are we seeing here? We know that the truth is the assurance of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're teaching the opposite truth, it would be opposite of that, be bad, right? Be covering up the gospel, right? And that's exactly what Paul's talking about right here. And he is saying, but have removed or renounced the hidden things there of dishonesty. In other words, we're not supposed to be covering up our gospel. We're not supposed to be walking in dishonesty. We're not supposed to be walking in craftiness. We're not supposed to be mishandling the word of God. We're not supposed to be handling it deceitfully. But yet, how many Bibles are perverted today? Is that not covering up the gospel? So if you're teaching and preaching out of a perverted Bible, are you not hiding the gospel? Sure you are. You know, people don't want to hear that today. They don't want to hear the truth. Right. But that's the truth. If you're using an uninspired version, you're covering up the truth. You know, and that's what it's talking about. I mean, I don't know about you, but I could sit here and probably name quite a few names, and I'm not going to, of people who deceitfully teach and preach. You know, the world today is all about money, isn't it? Right. You know, planting some seeds, amen? Plant some seeds. And you want to plant some seeds this morning, I'll give you my address, right? Right? That's what we're doing. That's deceitfully spreading the gospel. We're not to do that. We're supposed to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So folks, when we hide the gospel, when we withhold the gospel, If we're withholding it, we're hiding it, aren't we? When we do that, you're not hiding it from me. If I don't share the gospel, I'm not hiding it from you. If you're a born-again believer, you have the gospel. You know the truth. But when we hide and hold on to the gospel, we're hiding it from them which are lost. People who are dying and going to hell every day. That's who we're hiding the gospel from. We're not supposed to withhold the gospel. We need to get out there and share the gospel. You know, I was reading, I'm trying to remember who wrote this. I can't remember who wrote it. But it was talking about God has given us the power to think and to speak. But God doesn't think or speak for us. That's something that we have to do on our own. So folks, even though we have the power to speak, we have the power to think, it is our decision as to whether or not we're going to teach the truth or misrepresentation of that truth. So that's where evil comes into it, doesn't it? You know, God given us the abilities, some more than others, but at the same time, he's given us the abilities. And I don't know about you, but when you hear something that's true, don't you just know it's right? When it's out of the Bible, when it's scripture, you know, somebody can quote. I can't remember this whole Bible. I don't know about you, but I don't have that kind of memory. I can't remember every verse, but somebody can misquote the Bible out of the NIV or something like that, and it just pierces my soul. I know that it's not right. And I can run back and look it up. There it is. It's not right. See, there's something, when you get saved and the Spirit moves inside of you, Jesus is with you. He knows every word of the Bible. It's his word, amen? So when that word is incorrect, it just pierces me. I can't stand it. I don't know how people can sit in the church when they're preaching out of a Bible that's not right. I'd have to get up and leave. I mean, it would just drive me crazy. I couldn't sit there. Every time they'd read one of those perverted verses, they'd be like, no, that's not right. I was thinking about the other day, somebody was asking me about going to a certain church. If I'd ever been there, I'm like, no, I wouldn't be able to. I'd have to get up and leave. And it's not good to do that during the middle of the service, but there's just no way I could stay there. I mean, when you know in your heart something's wrong, how can you sit there and just continue to go through it? I mean, I know people that use an excuse. They'll find any excuse in the world to go to another church. Well, I just want to get out of here. You know? Because why? Because the church is not perfect. You ever thought about that? We're not perfect. Can you believe that? My soul. We're made up of a bunch of corruptible people, but we're not perfect. Come on, we're not supposed to be perfect. Amen. Only through Christ are we perfect. But people will use excuses like that to go to another church. Then they'll go to a church that's teaching out of a perverted Bible. I'm like, come on, are you serious? I can't understand that kind of thinking. Anyhow, that's what happens. And I got to move on here, or we won't get done with it. Probably not going to get done with it anyway. And however, does it really matter that there are people dying daily? Does it matter to us? Do we care? We say we do, but do we act on it? Do we act on that? Or do we just keep saying that we care and keep doing the same things that we do? You know, we need to act upon God's word. We need to remember that we are the word. What does the Bible say in Matthew 5:16? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, we are the light of the world. It's Jesus through us. We are supposed to be the lights of the world today. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, amen? The gospel is supposed to be shown through each and every one of God's people. We the believers. Have you ever heard of tears in heaven? You ever thought about that? Over in the book of Revelations, I'll read a verse to you. Revelations 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Have you ever asked yourself, why are there going to be tears in heaven? How is it possible to have tears in heaven? Well, if our gospel be hid, you ever consider judgment day? Because right here in Revelation 21:4, this is right after the great white throne judgment. The tears will be wiped away. You ever thought that maybe judgment day, you and I aren't going to be judged for our sin? Our sins paid for under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged for our good works. Amen. Have you ever thought about those that you know, that you've worked with, that you grew up with, that you lived around, that are going to be standing across from you and sentenced to hell because they've never accepted Christ? How many of them are going to look at you personally and ask, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? You ever thought about that? How many people are going to be sentenced to hell because we chose to cover up the truth of the gospel? Worried that we may offend someone? Folks, are you really that concerned about offending somebody? When you could possibly keep them out of hell just by sharing the gospel truth. It's up to them to reject it. But I believe there's going to be a lot of tears in heaven for that reason right there. Because we, as Christians, as believers, knowing the truth, holding the truth, bringing it right here in our hands every day to church, walking around with it every day in our hearts. The law God wrote in stone. The gospel was written in our hearts in blood. We carry that with us every day. And yet, we try to hide it. We try to conceal it, cover it up. We act like we're ashamed of it. When we should be lights on, like a lighthouse on the top of a hill, we ought to be letting our gospel shine before the world. regardless of what comes to us? Does it really matter what people say or do? Does it really matter what they call us? I mean, we got a man in the White House that's Trump, that Brother Trump, fighting for the rights of a nation. We're fighting for the rights of souls. He doesn't seem to care what people think. Think about that. And we're doing something much, much more important. I mean, I praise God for him. I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. But we're doing something much more important. We have a much higher calling. We have the highest calling in the world, the highest calling of the land. And that's to share the gospel truth. And that's what you and I ought to be doing every day of our lives. You know, you don't have to knock on doors. You don't have to go out visiting. You know, just by letting people see Christ in you, that says a lot. There's people saved just because they see what you've got. You know, they'll say to themselves, I'd like to have, I don't know what they got, but I'd like to have some of it. You know? And that's the truth. But we walk around like old sourpusses, like we're defeated. People are not going to do that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm guilty. You get in line at Walmart. You know, you go in there to get a sack of sugar and you got to wait 3.5 hours. You know, they got one person checking out, right? You know? 350 people lined around the building. Boy, it's aggravating, isn't it? You'll lose the gospel in you real quick. You know what I started doing? I just put the sugar back and go. I just leave. I'll pay $10 for it somewhere else because it keeps me out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so easy to cover that light up. And that's a battle that we all fight with every day, each and every one of us. And we need to remember that. We need to remember what Paul's trying to tell us right here. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Amen. All right, we're out of time. We'll get to Sunday school count here.